Welcome to Transition, Gadgets 360's gaming and pop culture podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about Fortnite, which is apparently very soon, right now, coming to Android. So all the leaks around that, all the information that we have so far, which will include some striking down of leaks that are very clearly not going to be true. So to do all of this, we have our resident Fortnite expert, whose highest score is rank 73. That's Rishi Alwani, who's our games editor.
It's actually 18 or 19 on Switch, but yeah.
Look, hiding around and like creating a bunker for yourself and not like shooting anybody, that doesn't count.
Yeah, well, build a wall, it works. At least in video games.
Sure, okay then. Ignoring all of those extremist references, we have our friend of the podcast, Mikhail Madnani.
Without coffee today, so this is going to be fun.
Yeah, let's see. We're not looking forward to it. And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So, first, let's talk about this Android release. Unlike PUBG, Fortnite is not available on Android so far. But whatever we are hearing so far, it does not look very good because the list of devices seems to be a little limited.
So, just to dial back a bit, Fortnite's available on nearly every gaming platform on the planet. It's on iOS, it's on Switch, it's on PS4, Xbox One, PC, and on PC, also Mac, for that matter.
Not on Xbox in India, though.
Yeah, so there's a bit of a technicality there. Mike's right. It's not available on Xbox One in India. If you try, if you're looking for Fortnite on the Xbox One store in India, it's not there. And Epic Games has confirmed to Gadgets 360 that the reason for this is because that that they don't have any India servers for the game, which I find very funny because how's the game then playable on PS4 and iOS? That being said, in terms of microtransactions, if you're playing on PC in India, you'll have to buy V-Bucks in US dollars. But you can buy V-Bucks in on iOS and PS4 in Indian rupees, which is also another amusing difference. And obviously, you can't buy anything on Fortnite if you're on Xbox here. Now, despite its reach on almost every gaming platform, it's not on Android. And for better or worse, the most numerous, most widespread platform is Android. And Fortnite's not there yet. And it hurts in chances in regions like Asia, where Android is basically the dominant platform, where most people's first internet experience is on an Android device and not on a PC, where people watch their videos and consume their content essentially on their smartphones. So they're kind of losing out on a huge chunk. That being said, Epic has said in the past that Fortnite is going to hit Android devices this summer. They haven't given a date. Circling back to the devices you mentioned, what's amusing is that when you log in or register on the Fortnite mobile official website, it shows you a list of devices for Android. Now, that list keeps changing. And we did ask Epic Games about this, and they did reply that that list is not final. It's just tentative. And they will be having, and they will announce the complete list of compatible devices soon enough. Because the first iteration of that list didn't include new devices like the S9.
It didn't have any Samsung.
It didn't have, like, yeah, to start
the first one.
Yeah, and it had a ton of Huawei phones, which was really amusing. Considering Huawei's devices use their own custom Kirin chips instead of, standard Exynos. Snapdragon SoCs. So that was amusing to see. And that list has evolved. It's now including the S8s and a bunch of other things. But again, we've seen nothing from Epic officially. So if you're the sort who's wondering if Fortnite would play on your, Galaxy 6, hold on, we still don't know yet.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't exactly blame Epic for delaying the release on Android, because I think it's also a matter of optimizing the game for all these devices and making sure it works across. Because a game like Fortnite is so popular that we are going to be seeing people playing it on all sorts of devices. It's not like, you can maybe say, okay, I'll optimize this game for S9 or S8 or whatever is there in the market right now, and then just pretend that everything else, it'll just automatically work, or the people who play the game on those devices will not really care. So if they're taking a little bit of extra time to optimize it for these devices, I am actually fine with it. But at the same time, it is quite surprising that it's not available on Xbox in India. That's for starters. And the reason that they're giving, it's a little hard to believe, considering that you probably would look at other things like Xbox is not that popular in India, and maybe it's not worth the investment or something like that. That probably would be closer to reality. And the second thing that's really surprising is how much money they've left on the table by not working on this faster and like probably releasing it for the Nintendo Switch before it comes to a platform such as Android.
Yeah, so coming back to you bring up an interesting point about the Xbox's performance, and it's something we've touched on at length on several episodes on this show. Link in the show notes. But what's interesting, it's not just Epic. We've seen Sega have the same concern. We don't see Sonic Mania on the Xbox store. Even Bandai Namco, who have upcoming games like Divinity Original Sin 2.
Which they are publishing and they've not developed. Publishing. It's not shown up. In fact, even as late as yesterday, I saw some discussion on Twitter about Dead Cells releasing soon. It's up for pre-order digitally on Switch, PS4, and Xbox worldwide. You get like $5 off. It's $25. There's 20 if you pre-order. But it's not there on the Indian Xbox store. And this is like a very high-profile indie. But then this isn't really new. Firewatch is still not available in India.
Neither was Celeste. So my point is, I think it's a symptom of the Xbox's condition at the end of the
day. Which is funny because like you can, on Switch and on PS4, you can make another account and just download whatever you want, buy whatever you want easily. On Xbox, it's like quite a procedure to do these things and buy some of these games. So it's always funny when Microsoft keeps saying that, yes, we're committed to gaming in India, when even if you want to spend money on games like us, you can't buy some of them. In fact, you wanted to buy Celeste on Xbox, I remember, and you ended up buying it on Switch because it wasn't available here and you didn't want to bother with the whole switching console and account region just for one game.
Yep. So,
but yeah, like back to the whole Fortnite Android thing. So I'm like, a lot of people have been expecting it to run on a ton of devices on Android. But given that it's SE and later on iOS... I wouldn't expect as much support as PUBG in terms of device compatibility, for sure. PUBG is obviously like, it's like they built it for China first and then they started expanding, so they have to take care of almost every Android phone they can get their hands on over there. But with Fortnite, I still don't see them gonna like support even half as many devices as PUBG.
I mean, yeah, that's one way of looking at it, because a game like PUBG even runs on a device as low end as the Redmi 5. And I mean, you get pretty decent. You won't be able to max it out because you can play on medium settings, and it won't be that bad an experience. I think the compatibility. But however, one point against that, it would be the fact that Epic has brought all the Fortnite improvements to Unreal Engine and vice versa. So if there's anyone who, I mean, on paper at least, could make a better or more optimized version of Fortnite, or of a game or a battle royale game in general on Android, it should theoretically be Epic. But then there's another thing to consider as well. Is it even worth the time and effort? Because and this is something I gleaned from our from the comments on our Asphalt 9 video review, wherein there were a bunch of people saying, hey, how many of you are waiting for the modded APK to show up, which basically unlocks a ton of in-app purchases for free. And that's also the kind of audience that Android tends to attract. I mean, it has more to do with the fact that there are loopholes within the ecosystem per se. It's not closed down as much as we'd be given to believe in this day and age. It's still very much open for certain things. And it's a question of, do you really want to expose yourself to that audience that's willing to do such things? And even though, and that's the thing, right? Like, it's going to have to be a question of choice, which is why, I mean, if you think about it, it does make sense that they'd want to partner with a certain big Korean company.
Yeah, so on a certain speaking fabric. Of which, I think the company that Rishi is referring to is Samsung. So the biggest leak which has come across, which we've come across in recent days, is that the Samsung Galaxy Note 9 or whatever it will be called, since the phone hasn't launched yet, or the phablet hasn't launched yet.
But what's funny enough is that every single detail around the phone, at least most of them have leaked early. Thanks to Russian blogger Eldar Murtazin, who actually had a pre-release device for a month. And has been drip feeding the internet with tons of info around it.
Yeah, so the Note 9 is rumored to be the device that Fortnite is going to be exclusive to. What we are hearing so far is that it's going to be a month-long exclusive on the Note 9. And, people have been saying that there's going to be some kind of a stylus-related feature in Fortnite for Android. I just find that thought really funny. Like, someone trying to play Fortnite with a stylus, like stabbing your screen with a pen, hoping that you're stabbing somebody with a dagger or something. I don't know.
I think it could work, but maybe in terms of navigation, it could make navigation and traversal a little easier. Or who knows, if the Note 9 would allow for some form of pressure. I mean, it would, because the screen does allow for pressure sensitivity. Maybe maybe using the stylus to shoot and aim. According to leaks, yes, shooting and aiming is a possibility with the stylus, though they didn't go into much detail. But what's fascinating is that those who pre-order the Note 9 would, I mean, according to the rumors, let's make that very clear. And these have emerged from XDA and 905 Google, who basically ended up posting around the same time. Is that the phone will be bundled with in-app purchases for Fortnite cosmetics.
Yeah, that's, I think if I were to guess what would happen, that would probably be like my number one guess, saying that if you buy the Samsung Galaxy Note 9, if you pre-order it or something, you'll probably get like a massive bonus in Fortnite.
Yeah, so what's but the amounts were amusing. They're like, I think $150 worth of in-app purchases, and then is what you get when you pre-order. Which means that Samsung's actually footing the bill on that, which I find amusing, how they manage to fit it into their margins.
But to be honest, Samsung is a company that spends a lot on marketing. And we've previously seen deals like the Samsung Gear VR going free with the latest Note phone or the latest Galaxy S9 or S8 or whatever phone.
But then here's the other thing. It's like, and if you don't want that, you have an option of getting a pair of AKG
headphones.
So that's one part of it. The other part of it is that according to the reports, Samsung is working with Epic Games to get Ninja Tyler Blevins, who's basically the world's biggest Fortnite player, to show up at the event and, you know, talk, spread the good word of Fortnite on Samsung. And also, and this is the part I find the most interesting, is the fact that Samsung's positioning or planning to position the Note 9 as a gaming phone. Now, why this matters is that we haven't seen a major brand in India take up the gaming phone mantle. We've seen the likes of Honor do it on the mid-range with the Honor Play. All right. We've seen the likes of Mitashi do it back with the Mitashi Thunderbolt back in 2014.
Nokia Engage.
And yeah, so that's my point. Nokia Engage and Xperia Play were the last two, in my opinion, at least what comes to mind. The Razer phone never launched here. The Xiaomi Black Shark never launched here. The Asus ROG smartphone is rumored for a Q3 launch. And let's be honest, this is going to be out before that. So it's fascinating to see that the approach is to position it as a gaming phone.
Yeah, so I'd like to maybe butt in and make a slight correction to your statement. I think no major Android phone manufacturer has pushed for a gaming phone in India in the last few years. But on the other side of things, if you look at it, the iPhone and, you know, the iPad, both are pretty fantastic as gaming devices.
True. I mean, if you look at it from gaming phones, but then, I mean, it's, let's be honest, I can count the number of times Apple actually used gaming to push their hardware in India. It's been more or less a fact. It's been more or less pushed because the content's there. But then, on my way to work and in every other ad I see for Apple across the country, it's about how cool the cameras are.
So, yeah, but you know what? To be honest, I don't think they need to push it as a gaming device as such. I think with Note 9, my suspicion is that like the whole gaming phone aspect is probably going to be just marketing, considering that even with the previous phone, it was a pretty solid phone, had a very good chipset in there, and like was, you know, pretty much didn't sweat at all when it comes to like gaming performance on Android. So if you're like willing to market it as a gaming phone, I'm not sure how many people will buy it in India as such. And I don't even think like people look at the Note 9 or the Note or Galaxy S series as phones that they would look at for anything other than business.
Exactly. And that's where it's going to be interesting, because the Note series has been sold on productivity in the past. For them to actually go and take the gaming approach reminds me of how a lot of the PC companies suddenly have decided to say, yeah, we have gaming PCs too. You know, Acer, HP, Asus, Lenovo, all of them over the recent years have suddenly doubled down on the gaming PC trend. So it's just fascinating to see them take this direction. But and while I feel it's risky, I mean, it's they've done it. And if this is true, and while it's risky, doing it with Fortnite is the logical smart move. I think outside of Pokemon Go, there is no game with that level of mass appeal and pop culture reach.
Yeah, it's the most successful game of this generation, probably like what zombies were in 2008 and 9. Battle Royale is now.
Yeah.
And Fortnite, in my opinion at least, has somehow sort of gone mainstream in a way that PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds probably should have, but did not actually manage to.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, I still think there's enough room in the Battle Royale pond for everyone. But what's fascinating, though, is while they... And it's not like Epic's just sitting on its laurels. They've I mean, as we touched upon earlier, they've made tweaks to the Unreal Engine to ensure that, you know, other developers get use of their optimizations. So all the optimizations the company's done on Fortnite have basically made it to the Unreal Engine. That's something they announced a while ago. What's also interesting is that they're using Amazon. They're going all in on Amazon Web Services as well. So, fingers crossed, when Fortnite does hit Android, maybe we hopefully shouldn't see a situation where, you know, there's lag or there's ping issues or there's issues getting to a game. It's something we noticed with Pokemon Go before the India launch, where there were issues where, you know, it was tough to, you know, find Pokemon or get stuff done in the game. So hopefully that won't be the case for Fortnite when it's Android.
Yeah, all right. So I think now we can probably move on to talking about the software side of things. So so far we've spoken about like what devices we want to see Fortnite on and which consoles it's on, etc. But how about we turn the tables around and look at, say, Google Play. Now, the worst rumor that so far we've encountered, the most like unbelievable rumor, which probably is not going to be true and will be dismantled shortly, is that Fortnite won't make it to Google Play. Mikhail, you want to speak about this?
Yeah, so some people on XDA and Reddit found like code on Epic's website where you sign up for the mobile version, which had some images which tells you that you will need to allow certain security things on your device to install apps outside the Play Store. And this is what points everyone to the fact that Fortnite may not be available on Google Play. Now, what I see is they're probably going to do this so that while they're doing the beta testing or while they're doing the invite-only system. And the one problem with Android, it's already been a problem now that there are a ton of YouTube videos scamming people with fake APKs and all for Fortnite on Android, which actually make you download other apps and rate them and do stuff like that. So Android is like, in that sense, the sideloading thing is a hellhole anyway. So I feel like this will be a thing where they give you a unique link which lets you download, which obviously people will share because that's what they do on Android with free APKs and all. But when it actually does release for the public, it'll be on Google Play. Maybe they're just like, because they're rolling it out on a device-by-device basis or like, you know, invite-only, they don't want to get review bombed already, because that's going to happen for sure. Even if it like supports 100 devices, there'll be someone who'll have like some Realme one or something which will go and say angrily, why Fortnite's not supporting my phone or something, and I can play PUBG or something like that. It's going to happen.
Yeah, for sure. But you know what, like before you like share your thoughts, Rishi, one thing that we probably may not have considered is that they might be sitting around and optimizing it for China, and that could be another reason why that Google Play rumor probably surfaced.
No, but yeah, I kind of agree with this, because even though the publishing for the game in China is probably going to be handled by Tencent,
it is.
I mean, it's quite likely that they're optimizing it for the Chinese storefronts. They're optimizing it for hardware that usually doesn't see the light of day outside that country. And I think it's something we even touched upon earlier. Like, if you consider Huawei runs, I think, is one of the world's biggest smartphone manufacturers. Most of their stuff runs on their own custom silicon. Now, to ensure compatibility is going to be a bit of a challenge, right? So, to me, I do agree, Pranay. I mean, yeah, it's a very valid point that, and considering Android, and which is funny, like, outside of Japan and South Korea, the only other country that pays a lot in terms of Android content is China. And they don't do it on the Play Store. They do it through their own native third-party app stores. And it's something I think we even saw with Monument Valley.
So Monument Valley, when it launched on iOS before it hit Android and other Google or other Android devices not using Google Play, and it actually made 59.3% in its first year of revenue on iOS itself. And Google was just 7%. Now, I know there are a lot of people who joke about people on Android not buying games and like pirating and all that. But the interesting thing to note about their announcement was that 33% sales came from their other category, which includes local app stores and regional marketplaces and all. And most of these, or if not all, would be on Android.
So, and probably coming from China.
Yes, so while Google Play itself is only 7% of the first year sales, with Amazon being 0.7, like I keep forgetting Amazon even has an app store. But yeah, so like you can't neglect China anymore if you're going to launch on mobile. And while Fortnite, they could be optimizing it, and the non-Google Play part will likely be for China, because correct me if I'm wrong, but Google Play is still not allowed in China, right?
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, so basically, Tencent will obviously launch it on their own platform when they do that. But the Chinese version of Fortnite will likely not be able to play with everyone outside that. Because PUBG, in fact, PUBG on mobile is 2 weeks or 3 weeks ahead on in China. So like 0.7.0, which landed a few days ago or a week ago, was actually really old in China in the mobile space. They've been playing these modes for a long time, war mode and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, and also in addition to it, the amusing justification given by a lot of sites for the lack of for Epic basically disregarding the Play Store is they don't want to give Google 30% revenue. Now, I find that very amusing because at the end of the day, they're fine with it on iOS and it's worked out for them. The revenue's worked out.
They don't have a choice on iOS. But the thing is, like, you bring up a good point. Like, even Blizzard, who has their own launcher on PC where they get all the cut on iOS, they charge almost the same. It's just some regions where buying on iOS is more expensive than others. But Blizzard is okay on Google Play and on iOS. So,
yeah, so the point is, it's really amusing how they're saying, oh, it's a 30%. I mean, I don't think that's the case. And secondly, the 30% split is what it is normally for most normal publishers. Most normal developers have a 30% split. There is room for negotiation beyond that. And it's something at least even Nintendo has said in the past. Like, I think around E3 when Fortnite was available on the Switch, Reggie Fils-Aime said that, yeah, we do have different revenue splits for different publishers. I think he said that in conversation with Bloomberg. So my point is, it is a thing. And I'm sure there's a way to wiggle around it if that could be a problem. Because can you imagine how it would be the world's biggest game store, technically the world's biggest game store, not having Fortnite? That's like ordering a pizza with no cheese. It cannot happen. So I think it's basically... it's basically rumor and speculation at this stage. I think they will launch on Play Store.
Yeah, so the point you made about different companies getting a different negotiation rate in terms of the cut that these major platforms take, that is very, very true. I mean, even on the App Store now, after years of people complaining about the 30% cut, what Apple has done is, if you can manage to get people to subscribe for a year, so after the first year, the cut reduces to 15%.
Exactly.
So that is for every single developer. And I'm sure, like, if you're a game as big as Fortnite, which is like, you know, most popular game on the world right now, probably. So yeah, there is always room for negotiation because the amounts involved in terms of in-app purchases and all are going to be like ridiculously high.
And also having Fortnite on Google Play, like not having it, sorry, on Google Play right now, I'm sure there are a lot of people going and buying an iOS device for it right now because you can only play Fortnite on mobile on iOS right now still. So yeah.
Yeah, and also let's keep in mind, Epic's the kind of company that decided to backdate everyone's Unreal Store purchases and give them like 10%, 20% more. Just because
they retroactively applied a higher cut for developers who sell their stuff on the Unreal, the asset store. Yeah. So there were people who were tweeting about how they could pay off their student loan. And since they retroactively added it for like 2 years since they've been selling stuff. So people are just like, that's it. We can pay off our loans and now we can invest in better company hardware and stuff like that. So they're making more money than anything right now. So they can afford to do all this.
Yeah, and they've made what? $1 billion? Or more.
They've made more. Way too much stuff. In fact, there's a new report from a site which I can't remember the name of that said Fortnite has already hit 100 million downloads. Apptopia has hit 100 million downloads on just iOS already.
Yeah.
So obviously that's not that many people spending money, but there's a good portion of those people spending money. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, while, you know, those rumors were obviously like pretty interesting to talk about, are we like expecting the Note 9 thing to like come true, that rumor, 30-day exclusivity? And see, like, I know that the Note 9 is going to be a popular device, but by the time it launches, it probably will be the end of August by the time it's in the hands of people. So is that like, do you think Samsung is paying them enough money to do that kind of exclusivity?
See, I look at it this way, and we're straying into orbital territory with this one. If you look at Samsung as a whole, and if you look at what's been going down, the S9 hasn't sold as well as it should. All right. It's probably the first device that hasn't touched the 10 million sales figure.
Yeah, and from what we know, their profits have declined quite a bit in as compared to what they were 2 years ago.
Yeah, so one is that the S9 hasn't sold as well. It's under 10 million. And the last device to do that number was the first Galaxy S. All right. Second thing, what we also know is there are rumors that when Samsung's boss gets out of jail, I'm not even joking, he's in jail for financial reasons. So the rumor is when he gets out, there are plans to merge the Note and Galaxy lines, the Galaxy S lines. All right. And if we also look at the fact, and if you look at Samsung's trajectory over the years, notice what every Note, what every Galaxy S and what every Note device was. They would reinvent the industrial design on a regular basis. And that's what got people to buy. That's what got people to bother.
At least since the Galaxy S3, they've been doing it.
Exactly.
They've created their own design identity.
Yeah, I mean, there used to be a running joke that all Samsung cheap plastic, but that's never been the case since the S6. Mm. So, and they've always crammed in newer features. And now they've reached a point of where it's plateaued. There are no new features to add. There's not much you can do in design until you can do a full bezel-less device like the Oppo Find X or the Vivo Next. You can't. There isn't anything else you can innovate on. And that's why people aren't buying their phones. So to me, it seems like the only reason they can get people to bother, I mean, aside from any industrial design changes, which is not happening, is to sell it on content. And what better way to sell it than on Fortnite?
Yeah.
Now, are they paying Epic enough? Well, frankly, I don't think so. Because you can't put a price on content. You can't put a price on that audience. And even though, and honestly, if you ask me, they're probably going to get shortchanged in terms of reach. Because if this is just a Note 9 exclusive, you're losing out on an entire family of Galaxy devices like the S8 and S8 Plus, which are still super popular. And are still selling very well. So to me, it's a situation where I'm sure there must have been, I mean, and I'm sure it's not just money. There must be other considerations at play, right? That Samsung will ensure it's preloaded on a ton of phones. Mm-hmm. Samsung will ensure distribution is done through their own app store. There are probably other considerations as well. It's not just the cash component. And I'm sure that on Samsung store, they must have even given them a better revenue cut.
Yeah, but that
I still think it's a shortchange situation, and it won't be long before someone extracts an APK and makes it playable for the rest.
I think what they're gonna do is, like they've done this with Blizzard in the past, where with the Hearthstone, if you had a Galaxy S6 family of systems device and you logged into your Hearthstone account, you got a Galaxy card back, which was a cosmetic. So they paid for that to like encourage people sort of to get into their family of devices through that. But it wasn't like, you can't pay Blizzard enough to make Hearthstone exclusive. So I look at it the same way with Fortnite. What they might do is they give you a like Samsung skin in game, or they give you V-Bucks, or they have a, you know, like people are talking about Galaxy 9 S, the Note 9 being a gaming phone. They could do a Fortnite phone.
That would be epic.
So they could,
I'd actually buy that.
Yeah, the Fortnite phone would be epic. So they could have the normal Note 9, which they market as their productivity nonsense with the stylus and all that. And you can have a gaming-focused one, which is exactly the same, probably have some branding somewhere. And you have V-Bucks, or you have a skin included. That's it. They don't need to pay for exclusivity. This will be the first, quote-unquote, hardware Fortnite device ever.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's enough.
So, the more I think about it, the less it makes sense that they'd probably do a Samsung Galaxy S9 exclusive deal for Fortnite, unless the version for other phones is not ready and, you know, they're using this as some time to sort of, using this, what, 30 days, etc., to get the other versions ready and up to, like, the required level of polish and to make some money in the meantime from these marketing deals, which
that's quite possible. That's one way of looking at it. I mean, considering the timelines they've set themselves, which was really ambitious, because if you think about it, Fortnite on iOS hit in March, April, right? And to say you're going to do summer for Android is a huge undertaking. Sometimes we see games hit Android 6 to 8 months later. The fact that they're willing to do it in such a short time frame, March, April, May, June, July, August.
Maybe they were talking about, you know, summer in Mumbai, so which is like they could release it on December 31 and they still get it on time.
Yes, I'm sure they were doing.
So, I mean, that, to me, it's I wouldn't be surprised if it's just a way to buy time and at least ensure saying, hey, it's out on certain Android devices. But to me, it's more likely that the push on this has come from Samsung, because let's be honest, when you want to stay relevant, and the best way to stay relevant when you can't compete on price, when you can't compete on hardware, is to compete on content. So to me, it just seems like more of a push from Samsung than from Epic to do this.
Yeah, fair enough. So probably the biggest discount on the Galaxy Note 9 would be V-Bucks.
Exactly.
Yeah, right then. Moving to the games we've been playing this week. I haven't played a single game. I've become like way too studious and productive at work. I downloaded a time tracking app, which is like a real life game.
What, Caffeine?
No, CubeServe. And yeah, apparently I'm like at 80% productivity every single day. Boss,
and
please
yet you
give
can't
me.
Play games.
Yeah, well, give me increment, boss, please. Okay. Right then, Mikhail, what have you been playing?
So, still playing Octopath Traveler, doing random nonsense. In fact, on the way to the
how
podcast, got 120 right now.
Okay.
So, yeah, basically that, Octopath, been playing Code of Princess EX, which is a remaster of a 3DS brawler, which Atlus published over there. Now it's published by Nicalis. This is like, it goes from dual screen to single screen, but runs better, looks better, has co-op support and all. Gameplay, a little kind of repetitive and all, not as much fun as Grand Kingdom, Odin Sphere and Dragon's Crown, but yeah, pretty good on the Switch for co-op, brawler, action, lane-based and all. Other than that, what else have I been playing? Can't even remember right now. Need coffee. So, yeah.
Cool. Rishi?
Well, I've been playing a lot of Octopath Traveler. It is good. It is legitimately epic. Probably one of the best RPGs I've played in
Fortnite for Android is epic. Octopath Traveler is epic.
Octopath Traveler, Square Enix.
There we go. No, but it's really, really, really good. I mean, I'm just shocked at how good it is. And considering the last good Square Enix RPG was... Yeah, I can't think of
it. It wasn't Final Fantasy 15 for
sure. Yeah, that's true. It wasn't Final Fantasy 15 for sure. But yeah, it's so good. So, I've been playing a lot of that on the Switch, both in handheld and dock mode. It plays really well. Been playing a bit of Splatoon from time to time, getting back into multi. It's quite fun. That aside, been playing a lot of Asphalt Legends, even post-review, because, it's still... I mean, I think I've spent as much time on Asphalt 9 Legends as I have on Cosmic Star Heroine, which I've also been playing on the Switch. So it's basically been a mobile and Switch kind of week, everything on those two platforms. And aside from those, I have also been playing... Salt and Sanctuary. Our review should go live on the site soon. It's 2D Dark Souls, and it's made by Scar Studios, who are I don't want to use that word again. Who are god tier.
Everything is epic.
Everything is epic, especially from Scar Studios. No, so Scar Studios has been one of my favorite indie devs for a while. They make really cool grindhouse aesthetic looking stuff that Pranay would never play, which is what makes them awesome. So they had a game called Charlie Murder, which is this punk themed brawler for the Xbox 360. They had Dishwasher Undead Samurai and Dishwasher Undead Samurai 2, which are really cool monochrome aesthetic except for the gushes of blood across the screen, which made it really epic to play. And they also had a game called I Made a Game with Zombies. So yeah, really cool dev. Salt and Sanctuary is a lot of fun to play. It's basically a remake. It's basically a port of their PS4 version of the game. And fun fact, this studio never made games for other platforms but Windows and Xbox until Salt and Sanctuary. So, and it's really good. So yeah, I've been playing that.
Cool. Sounds like a good week for both of you. Yep. I guess that's all we have for this episode of Transition, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. The music for this episode comes via Magnus Solai Paulson, whose album PPP PPP is where the tracks are from. And also, if you like this episode and if you like the show, please do subscribe to us via the Google Podcasts app on Android and the Apple Podcasts app on iPhone. Thank you so much for listening.